God bless y'all. Appreciate every one of you. I love you. Family, we thank you for your prayers. And I hope y'all gonna still like me to sing after I sing this song. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Thank you. Once again, I love you guys. I appreciate you and appreciate your prayers. We're going to try to sing here, if that isn't love, and I'm hoping I can, okay? All right. Let's see if I can see it. I think my eyes and my glasses are the same. Messed up a little bit. Okay. All right. Here we go. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hills of Golgotha. There he gave up his life for me. If that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no like this. If that isn't love, amen. Even in death, he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke
Amen. Such a profound song.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
What do you think about it? I think you're dead, brother. Donnie used to sing that many years. He'd sit there in the pulpit and, you know, you just consider to how do you measure the love of God? It's unmeasurable. All the things and we've discovered as humans cannot ever encapsulate the great vast of how deep and how high the love of God is for us, and we just thank the Lord for that. Amen. Let's have on my list, Love Lifted Me. How many needs a lift this afternoon? Let's sing that. You know, whenever we're down and in the valleys or mountaintops, wherever, he's still lifting us up because that's what he did at Calvary. Amen. Oh, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, deeply stained, there stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now saved.
Love lifted.
Amen. Let's just sing that chorus. I just want to glorify his name in Kiavel. Amen. We've come to glorify him in spirit and in truth this afternoon. Let's all stand and we'll sing this as our brother comes out. Oh, I just want to glorify his name.
How do we glorify his name? Live the life. Live the life. Live me a sermon, don't preach me one, right? Amen. Good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you with us. We appreciate you coming. And we pray that we'll say something that'll help us all make it through. And we will be better off for it. I want us to forge forward. And we can get out of here. Meet our loved ones that's gone on before. We don't have to worry about Mondays. Amen. Good to be here. Maxine LaJoz says, spirituality, the art of keeping your internal fire alive. Amen. Spirituality, the art of keeping your internal fire alive. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Remember Brother Luis, he'll be speaking for us Wednesday night. And Brother Bob is preaching for a brother in South Carolina. And Brother Aaron is preaching for Brother Boone in South Carolina. So they're both off ministering today. And we sure appreciate them having an opportunity to go minister the gospel in different places. And then they'll all be back, I think, next weekend, or most of them will. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Acts. We'll get right straight into the message here. Just keep praying for the ones that are not here, praying for the ones that are sick, and especially ones that are sin sick. Pray for them. Yeah. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Lord, I ask you to anoint us for the job, Lord. We always pray in the study with the brothers, Lord, that you'll anoint us for the job we have. Lord, that anointing will, as it did on the day of Pentecost, Lord, it'll sink into our heart. And Lord, it'll become part of us, and we'll be the, as Brother Brown said, if another branch comes forth, there'll be another book of Acts, Lord. And you're the vine and we're the branches, Lord. And we feed off of you, Father. The fruit that's on our branches, Lord, comes from the strength of the vine that's digging deep into the ground, searching for water. Father, I pray that you'd give us the water of the word today, Lord. that will wash us, Lord, and clean us up. Forgive us of our sins and our mistakes that we make against each other, Lord, and against you, Father. Lord, just let us be one with you. Let, Lord, the unity of the faith come to all of us like it was there in the day of on the day of Pentecost, Father, where they're all in one mind and one accord. Lord, something mighty happens when we all get in one mind and one accord, Father. So I pray today that we'll all come under this great message of the hour. And, Lord, that we will soak it in today, Lord, and we'll carry it forward. And, Lord, hasten your coming, Father. But before you do that, Lord, save our lost ones. Save our sons, our daughters, our fathers, our mothers, our sisters, our brothers. Lord, I pray that you'd touch their heart. And may there be a revival come again, Lord, that'll revive not the whole world, but will revive our families, Lord, and bring us closer together, Lord, to you. Father, just bless us now and affirm them in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to leave off that scripture we've been reading because we're going to get into Pentecost today. So Acts 2, verse 1. Because remember, now, Pentecost is not an age. All right, Pentecost is not an age. The age declares it starts in Ephesus and goes to Laodicea. But if it's an Alpha and Omega, the Alpha had to start with the Pentecost first before the age started. And so now in the end time, the Holy Ghost had to come back in the fullness of the baptism to get everything lined up so that God could send us a prophet. All right? Because it got so misconstrued down through the church ages, and as Brother Ram calls it, loose ends. Loose ends had fell off, and nobody, he can come here and he speak in tongues, you got the evidence, and each one of them had a different, you don't sing, you do sing, we're latter rain, we're not latter rain, and it just was all just all messed up. But now remember, I was thinking yesterday, I was reading where Brother Brown was talking about denominations. He said, like, denominations just fade away. But now remember, that was about 1962. He never eradicated any denomination. They just kept going on. They kept getting stronger, supposedly. And there's more of them now than there was then. So this is for a specific group of people. This is not for the world. This is not for the denominations. This is for the bride of Jesus Christ. Because God hates denominationalism, hates Nicolaitanism, hates Jezebel religion, all those things. He said he hated. All right, so if he hates them, then we're supposed to hate them. Not hate the people, but hate the system that they're in. But once they become part of that system, though, how can you separate them? Once you and me become part, when we become Christians, how can we separate ourselves from God? Can't do it. So let's read the book of Acts, Acts 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire. Oh, my. And it sat upon each one of them. Look, individual licks of fire. That means the Holy Ghost is an individual affair with God. He showed 120 people, and there was 120 licks of fire. Same Holy Ghost, but it was on each one of them. So we can be here today, and the Holy Ghost could fall today, and it could fall on some and not on others. Right? Is everybody with me? God's sovereign, but God will accept your sacrifice. We're talking about the one-eyed black man. His sacrifice was, God, I want more of you. Well, do this. All right? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You may be seated. The Lord has blessing to the reading of the word. Here we are now. We're almost at the end of the church ages. We've got one more age called Laodicea, and Brother Brown said it was the shortest age, so it's really short. All right, it's not a big long age, it's a real short church age. And being a real short church age, we're in it. All right? And remember that the seventh church age goes until the Gentiles leave. But remember now, we're still in the seventh day, all right, until the millennium's over. Something to think about. You can be quiet a minute, but think about it. You're in the eighth day by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Paul was in the eighth day by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Peter, James, John, anybody that's got the Holy Ghost, you are lifted up out of the seven cycles, seven sevens, or seven church ages, and you're in heavenly places, which is an eight, which is eternity, all right? But eternity only comes to the bride while she's here, us, all right? Everybody with me? And then we go home, and then the Holy Ghost goes to the Jews for 144,000 for 1,260 days. All right, everybody got that? But there's still sin on the earth. In the millennium, there's still a devil. There's still demons. There's still a heathen. So that's not in the eighth day. So this seventh day continues all the way to the future home. Even the white throne judgment is still in the seventh day because there's people standing there that are not born again. All right? So we're going to continue. There's going to be, when Brother Brown said it's the shortest age, it's the shortest in preaching. It's the shortest in time as far as preaching. Because listen, when a Gentile church is gone, us, the bride's gone, they can preach all they want to. There's not another Gentile going to be saved. There you're going to have foolish virgins. They're even going to be right on the brink of it and not be saved. All right, everybody with me? All right. So we're at a seventh church age that preaching-wise is very, very short because it only started. We know Azusa Street was part of it, but as we were talking about this morning, Azusa Street was a Pentecostal age that was inserted in to get us started and get us out of Wesleyanism, Lutheranism, and get us into what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost falling on a group of people. And when it falls on a group of people, then what does it show? It show there, you see where it says Holy Ghost. That's where then what Brother Branham comes at the end of that age, as Paul came at the end of Pentecost and started the Ephesian church age. Brother Branham comes at the end of Pentecost and starts the Laodicean church age, and that's the messenger to the age. There was no messenger to the age of the Holy Ghost fallen. There was no messenger to the age when the Pentecost. We were talking about that this morning. All right? Is everybody with me on that? All right, let's continue on then. So the first three ages, and the reason I keep going over this is because I want you to look at position. All right, everybody with me? Position. They were in a position in the first church age to where they had the complete pure word of God. Jesus had preached to them, the man himself, greatest preacher ever lived, never preached a wrong sermon. They came right out from under his ministry. The Holy Ghost fell. Remember, Jesus turned to him one day and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." So that was potential. They didn't receive the Holy Ghost. It was a potential that they were able to receive it. And then he says, "Lord, justify him. Lord, sanctify him." So he had a group of people that was set up in a way that they were going to come to the fullness of that age quicker than anybody. The reason I'm telling you this is because there's two things happens on the day of Pentecost. All right? And we'll look at it in just a few minutes. But the first three ages had the pure word of God. Paul didn't have a problem preaching one God. Paul didn't have a problem preaching water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul didn't have a problem preaching no eternal life. There was no such doctrine as that. That doctrine developed out of all that. We were talking about it the other day, me and another brethren. You know, you talk about all these different doctrines, even in the message, not the doctrines of the world, just the doctrines in this message. They all come from the quotes. They all come from what Brother Branham said. They all quote Brother Branham. So are we going to take what he said on paper, or are we going to take what he said in essence? Because Jesus stood one day and said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you'll have no part with me." Isn't that what he said? And he didn't interpret it. He didn't say, "No, I really meant this." No, he said that and went on. Why? Because he knew it would be interpreted later on by the apostles when they broke bread and drank the wine for communion. Yeah. But that's what he said, though. That's a quote. You know, Brother Dale's always told us, he said, "You bring me a quote." He said, "It won't take me long. I'll find you one that sounds contrary." Right. See, we can't be that in the end time. They weren't that in the beginning. So we got to not be that in the end time. We got to have everything right. And then, you know, people say, "Well, you see it this way and I see it that way." Well, that I don't understand that. Jesus didn't say, "You see it this way and I see it that way." He turned and looked at the religious people of the day, and he said, you're of your father the devil. You and me do not have the same origin. Isn't that what he was saying? You and I don't have the same daddy. Of course, they're over there going, oh, sure we don't. We're not of you're born illegitimate. You know, you're born of Joseph or some Roman. No, and he's over there going, I and my father are one. I'm the one you're supposed to be worshiping. You know, in other words, I'm the one you're looking for. I'm standing here in front of you. And what are you doing with it? Well, they killed him. They'll do the same thing with us. They'll kill our influence because we're different. Just being born again makes you different. But being born again and having the virtues working in your life makes you even more weird. Because people don't understand you. How can somebody, they didn't understand Jesus, did they? Most misunderstood man in the world. Why? He was the only one that had the Holy Ghost. He was the Holy Ghost. Nobody else had the Holy Ghost. But I promise you, on the day of Pentecost, when that Holy Ghost struck Peter, James, John, and all those different ones, when it struck them, it struck a fire in their heart. That fire went from right here and went down into the heart, and they were going, oh, that's why he meant what he said. That's why he said that. That's why we got to go here. That's why. Don't you see it that way? Don't you, when you first saw this message, even though you may not even have been born again, but something's fired in your heart, go, that can't be nothing but the truth. That's right. That's right. Well, that's the way it was back then, but it fell on a group of people. As Brother Brown said in the Church Age book, he said it fell on sons and daughters. Yes. And they became mature really fast because they were supposed to have, according to John, according to Malachi, as we read, that he was going to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers here and then turn the hearts of the fathers to the children because that fathers was mature. Okay, everybody with me? Father's mature. Son is not. All right? Father's mature, son's not. So it took the fathers to the children and then the immature Pentecostal babies in this time, and Brother Branham took them to what? Took them out of that Pentecostal denomination and right here today. But we can understand the message more than they understood it even in the 60s and 50s. You believe that? I do. I believe it. I believe Brother Branham was preaching a prophetic message that nobody understood everything that was going on like you and I are understanding now. They're just not. They didn't. It wasn't for them. Remember, Brother Brown said it wasn't for them. Especially when he come to the opening of the seals, he said, thousands of my friends will go away from me. And even when he preached marriage and divorce, and supposedly, as the lady said, Brother Brown, you forgive them of their sins. He said, well, that's not too far off. He said, another group's going to leave me. I mean, he got down from preaching to 15 and 20,000 down to preaching to 30 in a trailer in Arizona. 30 people. A great, powerful man like that, and he humbled himself and still just preached one of the greatest. He preached the token, and he preached the rapture message. Two of the greatest messages, and he preached it in a trailer. So the first three ages, it's a pure word of God. So what do we got to do if we're going to mirror that? We got to come back to the pure word of God. All right? Now, not our idea, the pure word of God. And we believe that God sent a prophet in that age, Paul, to give us that foundation, all right, the whole New Testament, most 90%, 80% of it, that we can have. But now, what happened during that from there to here? Somehow they took Paul and made him say something that he didn't say. Come on. Because they got their false doctrine from the Bible. They had to bring Scripture. Satan's not stupid. You can't bring it from, as Dad said, from Greer's Almanac. They brought it from the Bible. There's people preaching Trinitarian doctrine today, and they got the same identical Bible you got in your hand. And people are what? Believing it. Putting their soul on it. That's how deceiving Satan is. He don't bring another book over here. He brings the Bible and does the same identical thing. Well, he started that in the beginning, and then it took all that time to run through all those denominations till we come up to today. And what's the first thing Brother Brown did? He started condemning those denominations. Amen? Not the people, the denomination. But when that denomination becomes the people, and the people become denomination, they're going to be condemned by what they know. So are we. So don't get out of it. We're not going to get out of it. We're going to be judged. We're not going to be in a white throne judgment, but we're going to be judged for what we know. There'll be a day of judgment for us. Deeds are good or bad, and it's in the Bible, according to Paul. Won't be a white throne judgment. Listen, if you got eternal life today, God's not going to take it away from you. You got it. He can't change. He would have to change his mind to not give you to take eternal life away from you. And he's not going to change his mind. So the fourth age, we know it went into the ground. The fifth age, it come out with justification that Luther stood and said, look, it's not penance. It's not works. We got to have faith to believe that we are the just people of God. Amen. And that struck a fire in people's heart. And they took a real revelation of that. And they believed it. But then they went off, what? And said, this is it. There's no other. You don't have to be sanctified. You can do all these things and smoke a pipe and drink a beer and whatever you want to do, as Luther did. But then there was another part of that, which was what? That was sanctification. God requires clean living. Doesn't matter if it's the first church age, middle church age, last church age. He requires clean living. All right? So the clean living is what? It's sanctification. It's when God cleans us out, washes us out. We know that he put our sins in the sea of God's forgiveness. Then we come to sanctification where it's cleaned up and set aside. Now remember, as Brother Ram said, a baby's got life, but it's a different kind of life. It's wiggling muscle life, all right? That's what he said in sanctification, right? We read that right here. That's why it's very, very, I'd be cautious if you're growing in God and you've come to that life where you're living a sanctified life. Because what's going to happen is if you continue with that, the devil's coming right back in, folks. He is better than we are. He is diligent. He finds a crack, he sits in it. So if you don't fill it with the Holy Ghost, he's going to fill you with religion. And that's what he's done. That's what he did way back over here. He filled people with religion. Got them religious, got them coming to church, and just sitting there. But our Brother Abraham says, we're believing unto eternal life. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it is eternal life. So now remember, justification, the only way you can get your sins chopped off is because of Jesus Christ. Yes. Your belief in him, all right? So that's a work of the Holy Ghost. A sanctification, now remember, it is a work of the Holy Ghost. Yes. But the baptism is the Holy Ghost. It's that person that comes and dwells inside of you and doesn't leave. Amen. Praise God. Amen. We had the devil inside of us and he wouldn't leave. You know why? Because we loved him. But when we start loving God, we start loving the things of God, then we know that the love of the world's not in us. Jesus said, if you love the world and the things of the world, the love of the Father's not even in you. But it's a different life. A baby's got life in the womb of the mother, little muscles. But it's a different life when it breathes the breath of life into its nostrils. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Before that, the 120 in the upper room, before that, they were Jesus' disciples. They walked with him, and he taught them. He breathed on them and said, receive eternal life. But they didn't receive it until they went where he told them to go and stay there and tarry until the Holy Ghost comes. All right? So they didn't just fly off the handle like they said. Peter said, man, we've been up here 2 or 3 days. I think we got it. Well, they had an anointing. There's no doubt. Peter and them, because Jesus gave them an anointing. He gave them power to cast out devils without the Holy Ghost in their soul. Come on. That's how Brother Ram could stand and preach anointed ones at the end time. Knowing that those people were anointed by the Holy Ghost. True Holy Ghost, but be false. Because it wasn't down in their soul. It was anointing their spirit realm. All right? And we be careful today because we can get caught in that same trap. My Methodist brother, Pilgrim Holiness, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is different from sanctification. Now listen, that's why they started separating from Brother Branham right about here. Because all that whole Pentecostal, the whole denomination was built on one thing. You had to speak in tongues to get the Holy Ghost. Everybody with me? Oh, they lived a good life. They wore the, you know, no jewelry and long sleeves and wore the dress and the hair and all. They had that right. Because Brother Branham, he kind of targeted the Nazarenes because they were the closest one to real true holiness. But he told them, he said, you stopped. He said, that's just sanctification. You got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yes. But when the Holy Ghost comes, it is life. Preparation is cleaning the vessel. What we're doing right now, listen, we are being prepared for a body change. Some of you that are not born again, you're being prepared to get born again. But if you're born again today, you are preparing for a body change. One way or the other, we're going to take a body change. Either by death here or by standing here when the rapture takes place. All right? But we're going to have a change. So sanctification means clean and set aside for service. The Holy Ghost is put in service, or the Holy Spirit. You're the vessel that God cleaned up. And remember, when Jesus said, or through Paul, he said, those who I've justified have already glorified. Now, Paul was telling us that, but that was Jesus speaking through him, because Paul couldn't justify us and Paul couldn't glorify us. So Jesus was speaking directly through Paul, a revelation that if I'm going to justify you, I'm going to take you to glorification. Now, you can say, well, we're going to be glorified over yonder. Well, that's okay. But I'd rather take it right now. Let's believe it right now, because that's a call. Every age had a call. There was a call from their messenger. With the seven messengers, there was a call. Now, there was no messenger of the Holy Ghost age, so what was that? It wasn't a call for a rapture. It wasn't a call for sanctification. It was, Brother Brown said, it was the restoration of the gifts. To restore the gifts back to the church, to start cleaning it up, start a healing campaign that lasted all the way through, even into Brother Branham's ministry. All right? You don't see much of that now. But man, you had the A.A. Allens, you had Oral Roberts, you had Billy Graham, you had all the different ones that were all in that one time slot. Oh, what a mighty God. But that got us ready to where Brother Branham could step out and bring his message. We'll talk about this a little bit later. Brother Ram said, remember, Malachi 4 does two things. Turns the hearts of the children back to the fathers and then reveals the seals. Well, that was his real message, and that didn't come until 1963. All right? And that's what you and I are under now. Now, Brother Ram said, look, when the unclean spirit is gone from a man, he walks in dry places. That's exactly what the church has done. He's telling them what they're doing. Baptist, Methodist, those who believed in sanctification. The unclean spirit went out, returns back to this church body. You know what? I believe that true ministers back then were trying their best, but they didn't have a prophet on the scene to tell them and give them direction of where to go. Wasn't there. But there had to be a prophet on the scene so that you and I can get it. I don't know about you guys, but Brother Adam was sent to me. He wasn't sent to you. He was sent to me. Behold, I send you. He said. He didn't say, behold, I send a group. Okay. Individual. He sent Brother Branham to me because when I hear his voice, I know that God's speaking to me and giving me direction that I never would have got had I not heard that man. Amen? Amen? I never would have got direction like that. You wouldn't either. You wouldn't know what you were doing. Well, is this right? Is this so-and-so right? Well, I watched this one on TV. He looks right. Well, whoop, he got caught in adultery. Well, this one, you know, you look at the great people now that are in televangelists and stuff that are getting caught in all that different stuff. So, but remember, when you live in sanctification, you can mess up really bad. Because you can have all that ministry like the Tim Humes and even in our part. You can preach 30 years. People can get the Holy Ghost under those people's ministry. Brother Ram said, an egg, you put it under a dog and it'll hatch. You put it in an environment. All right? But they can't grow. Folks, you can't grow without having a pastor that's got the Holy Ghost. How's he going to grow? He's just going to be false. And he's just going to tell you to be happy and make sure that you pay your tithes and come to church and, you know, just, you know, and then I'll do all the studying for you. Don't worry about it. Tomorrow, I'll take care of it. Y'all just go ahead and do what you need to do. No, it's not that way. I want you to believe and understand that you don't have to have a preacher pray for you to get something. Don't depend on that. You know what God will do? God will rip that rug right out from under you. He will rip a man right out from under you if you think that man is going to do it for you. You better put your confidence on God and then let it be you and God. As Brother Bram said, you and God in there as persons. It's really crowded when you start putting pastors and preachers and everybody else in there. Hello? Now, everybody, we need a pastor. We need a leader. We need a spiritual. God set it up that way. But this is not the priest thing where you just say, well, as long as I can get to the priest, I'm fine. No, as long as you get to God, you're fine. You get to God first. If you get to God, that makes my job a whole lot easier. If you'll get to God first, because I'll fail you. Don't look at some man. You look to Jesus Christ. And you let him lead you and guide you into all truth. Because look, the state of that person or the state, Brother Brown even talks about the state of that church is seven times. They had been better to stay Lutherans than it would to receive that light and fail to follow it. Spoken word church, I'm telling you the same thing. If we fail to see what God's give us, and all the years we've had that we've had a foundation like no other church that I know of, and if we don't receive that light and fail to follow it, Brother Brown said, look, they had better to stay Lutherans. So will the Pentecostals. You know what I mean. The house is garnished. In other words, it's swept out. If you return back and find the house not filled with the Holy Spirit, now the state of that church. Now, he keeps saying church. The Bible says person. He's telling the churches. The state of that church is joined. Now, watch this. To not be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you how important this is. To not be filled with the Holy Ghost, number one, you will be deceived, and you will not go in the rapture. Okay? And you will go under this world council of churches. You will receive the mark of the beast, whether you think you got it or not, if you're not born again. If you're not born again, you already have the mark of the beast. What Holy Ghost does is get shit off of you, get you into what? A regening or a regeneration. Moves you over into another family. Gets you out of that born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and all that stuff. It's a state now that connects. You know, the other day, I was reading where the Roman Catholic Church, it's not going to matter if Trump gets in, or it's not going to matter if what's-her-name gets in. It's going to be run by the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is already set up to where they're going to run the place. It doesn't matter what. All right, doesn't matter who's in office. Doesn't matter. The Catholic Church, we know. Listen, we know.
Yes, sir.
We know how this ends. We know how it ends. If you believe Brother Brown was a prophet and he could see a vision and he could see that the United States was going to be laid in rubble, gone, completely finished. He said, I didn't even see a building standing. Everything was just flat. And it's all going to come from religion. We're going to be ejected. They're going to be rejected. And then they're going to be a problem. There's going to be bombs falling everywhere. But it's all going to be when, he said, you watch the World Council of Churches. When they get together, well, they've been together for a while. But now they'll have a voice. You just watch this next election. They will have a voice to speak through. Because we, the United States, are that image, according to Revelation 13. Is everybody with me? And not we in the Bible here. That we're supposed to give the beast power to speak. We're the most powerful nation in the world. Supposed to be. And we give them power to speak. So listen, we become a part of that. And I don't mean we. I mean all the United States. Listen, we had liberty at one time. We had freedom at one time. We sold every bit of that. Americans, we sold our birthright to everything else. I hate that. Greatest nation in the world. And listen, we're $30 trillion in debt. And we ain't even looking to stop. You're owned by your debtor. You know that, right? Even the Bible tells us that. Even Dave Ramsey tells us that. You're owned by your debtor. You don't own nothing. Your debtor owns everything. If you owe somebody money, you owe that person money, then you're not free. You have indebted yourself to that person. All right? The borrower is slave to the lender. All right? I don't know why I got off on that, but Lord bless you. For that, that was a tabernacle. But just beware. Be careful. Trust God. Get the Holy Ghost and make sure you got it to seal yourself in. If not, you're going to be sealed out. You're not going to make it as a collective group. It's an individual, and then we have a group. Okay, is everybody with me? Because we're going to read this in a little while, where what happened when they got the Holy Ghost, they started congregating together. We're reading the book of Acts. So we'll continue. We done read all that. Now look, we're into the Holy of Holies. We were talking about it this morning, but this is where it'll tell you exactly what was in there. The Ark, or the Aaron, which contained the tablets. So when you walked into the Holy of Holies, you walked into there, there was the Word of God that God by his own finger wrote on a piece of wood, a piece of stone. Everybody with me? Man didn't do that. God did it. Amen. The foundation stone upon which the ark sat, Aaron's staff, we know that, and then the jar of manna was in there. All that manna come from God. The staff was made alive by God, if you'll see these scriptures. So you and I, when you get into the Holy of Holies, like I said before, it's not you and the pastor and God. It's not you and the priest and God. It's not you and your husband or wife or God. I'm sorry. It's not you or your mom and daddy and God. It's you and God, and that's all. God did not allow another person in that Holy of Holies. Only one. And he had to have everything right. Well, you know what? When he died at Calvary, when the veil was rent, let me say this real soft. You don't have to have everything right like Aaron did to approach God. Now it tells us to boldly come to the throne of grace, bringing our petition, bringing our sins and laying them out. Hello? Aaron had to have everything perfect according to the law, all the colors, all the oil, all the blood. And when he walked in, he had a certain thing he had to do or he died. Now God tells us now, take your sin, take your stinking self, and come boldly to the throne of grace. Bring your petition. Bring anything you need. Salvation, healing, whatever it is. Take it to the throne of God. You don't have to go to a priest or a preacher or a pastor. Do it yourself. We put too much emphasis on, well, so-and-so prayed for me. I don't care who prayed for you. They didn't heal you. They might have been a conduit to get you to God and give you some confidence. Yes, I believe that. But that healing's got to come from you. You and God. Nobody else. So now the Holy Ghost in the upper room. So let's look at this just for a second, and then we'll separate the two. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued, or that word endued means sunk into, with power from on high. Remember, they were powerless until this happened. Even Brother Branham, I read the quote to you many times where the end time church has become what? Lukewarm, cold, and powerless. Why? There's no Holy Ghost there. Listen, if you got the Holy Ghost, you got power. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you might have a permitted power. You might have something to get you to power, but you have no power. You know why you have power? Because you got the power person inside of you. The man himself, not a second person, not a secretary. Himself is in your soul. So let's read this right here real quick. And here's the full thing that happens on the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each one. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, this is where I stop, but we'll continue on. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, look, wake up a minute. There's 120 in the upper room. They're up here in the room. All right? Amen. Then you got all the day of Pentecost is going on. So it's not just the 120 and nothing else. No, the feast was happening. Pentecost is a feast. They had a feast. And they had people from all over the nations come in. Jerusalem was full of people. okay? And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every one of them heard them speak in his own language. Like the sister said, on Azusa Street, here comes the Chinese or Vietnamese lady, stands up and speaks in tongues, speaks in her language, and they hear it in English. See, that's the mystery, that you can hear it in your language. Listen, that's the way it's going to be in glory. We're just getting set up for it now. That's just the way it's going to be in glory. We won't need an interpreter. Brother Carlos can speak in Spanish. He'll hear himself in Spanish. We'll hear him in English. And when I talk to him, he'll be speaking Spanish. You go, no, they're all going to speak English. No, listen, God is not a respecter of persons. He loves different languages, so you're going to speak, and there's not going to be any confusion either. What a mighty God we serve. So then what is it? Is it in the speaking or the hearing? It's in the hearing. They heard every man. Faith comes by speaking. Nope. Faith comes by hearing. And they were all amazed and marveled. Now look, at what? These people are saying all these different things, and they're all hearing. The Greeks are going, oh, they're talking to me. And the Italians are going like, no, they're talking to me, you know. Wow. Remember that time, Brother Brandon, when he was preaching, he was Spanish. He was speaking, and he had an interpreter, and he was speaking, and God didn't change his voice, because the tape still showed Brother Brandon speaking in English. But the little sister or a little brother, whoever it was there, and he said, oh, I didn't know you could speak Spanish. Well, that was God. He changed the hearing. So right here, because that's why I underlined this. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these speak Galileans? They knew they weren't. They come from all over the world. And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia. Man, I'm talking about all over the Middle East. Strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes, Arabians. Hey, it wasn't just a few. It was all these different languages. We do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? Others mocked and said, these men are full of new wine. In other words, they got drunk during the middle of the morning. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Now here's the spokesman. Because we're going to look in just a little while. Daddy Seymour, or William Seymour, did the same thing. He stood up and took all the confusion out. He said, this is the third word. This is that. This spoken by Joel. But we are not drunk. You men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day. Of course, like 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he takes it to the Bible. And it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids, I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I'll show wonders in heaven above, signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor of smoke. Sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood. We've seen that ourselves, right? Before that great notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord in any language shall be saved. So they took the language barrier out right there. The language barrier is gone. All right? So now look, let's put this together real quick. No messenger, the first outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So when they went to the upper room, there was 120, and that was it. All right, they received the Holy Ghost. They start speaking. They come outside, and Peter had to quiet them down because they didn't. Well, what's happening? What means this? So Peter stands up and says, this is that. All right, so he kind of quietens the crowd, gets them all settled in. But remember, Peter is not the messenger. He's the spokesperson. Had to wait for a prophet to come on the scene, which was Paul. Why didn't Peter explain, we're going to take communion next Sunday? Why didn't Peter explain communion? He was sitting there. Obviously, he was sitting there. He was the one who told the Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. He wasn't there to, he was there, but he couldn't explain it. Paul, by vision in Corinthians, explains what happened in that upper room. It took a prophet to bring clarity to what was going on. So the spokesman for Pentecost was Peter and William Seymour. Or they call him and refer to him as Daddy Seymour. He's a black man, 35 years old. He is one eye blind, had no education, learned to read the Bible. It's a little funny story. It's not really funny, but it is. The lady that was playing the piano in his services received the Holy Ghost, and it kind of caught his attention, and she became Miss Seymour after a little while. So they got married. So the same pattern, though, is with this age. So there's no messenger of the age. That's right here what we're talking about. No messenger of the age because the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism. Now, there's several people. Brother Brown makes that very specific. He came in the fullness of the baptism. So there's nothing left out. Amen. Signs, wonders, speaking in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, all that was included. Yeah. The gifts were brought back to the church in its fullness. Now, that didn't mean that was it, though. It was a time that was it. It brought them out of Lutheranism and Methodists and all that and brought them into the Holy Ghost, era, or the Holy Ghost time. So now you've got that, and then what, Brother Branham, he steps right out on that. But no messenger of the age, because the Holy Ghost came himself. But now remember, at the end of the age, about 1915, Brother Brown was born in 1909. About 1915, all that started waning, and it started going, and what did it do? When it started waning, it started going to this one, Church of God, and this one, this Church of God of Prophecy, and this one over here, and this one over here. And there were so many denominations when Brother Branham got there, he said, y'all got away from it. Amen. He always said back to Pentecost. And he really meant back to Pentecost back in AD 30, because there was no split back then. But you see how Satan did. He took the most pure time that's ever been. The Holy Ghost fell himself. There was no interpretation of a man. Come on. There was no interpretation of the man. It didn't have to go through somebody to get to you. The Holy Ghost fell himself on those individual people. And they prophesied, spoke in tongues. They had revivals. They had churches the last 3 days. Right. Prayer meetings that last, 24 hours. But they still were reformers. They still had error. They still had error. You got to get rid of the error. The error has got to go. That's why God had to send a prophet. And that prophet said, hey, you've lost it right here. You're wrong here. He had to do that. So it says, look, we find out the messenger sent, and all these scruples are to be placed in their places. Then the rapture comes for the church. The rapture couldn't come had Brother Branham not come. Because who was God going to rapture? The Lutherans, the Methodists, the Pentecostals split in 40 different directions. No, God's not an altar of confusion. He had to bring everything back. He had to bring Brother Branham out of a denomination. Now remember, he said he was a Baptist. But he had to come out of that to the true word of God. So remember, Paul was not at Pentecost. We read this morning to end. I'll read it one more time. Paul's telling him, said, last of all, he was seen of me. Now, when did he see Jesus? He saw him on the road to Emmaus. Road to Damascus. Right? When they got knocked off the horse, he said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. Who you're persecuting? And last of all, he was seen of me as one of born out of due time or an untimely birth. Brother Branham was not at Pentecost. There had to come a message, though. He said, I was one born out of season to you full gospel people. And by God's grace, he lets me call you brother and sister. And you know what he was saying? My message is going to move on. Yours is right here. Because by the grace of God, he's called me to call you out of that. Now, Brother Branham wasn't going to ever say that. He was too humble of a man. But that's why God sent Brother Branham. was to call us out of all that.
Yes,
call us out and to say, this is the truth right here.
Right.
Now, whether they accept it or not, that's their issue. But I was born out of season amongst you full gospel people. I was a Baptist. You may know more about Scripture, but I know the author really well.
Amen.
All right, now look. We're promised a messenger in the last day, Malachi 4, that would restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. The Pentecostal children, now that's getting away from it, will bring them back to the original message of the original Pentecost. Not 1906, the original Pentecost. Everybody with me? Oh, hallelujah, I feel religious. Why? You know why? He knew what he was telling the people. What he was trying to bring was supposed to take them back to the original Pentecost. The fathers. God has a provided way today. It's a restored Pentecost back to the same things, the same sign, same message. There you are. Now, this is where we ended up this morning. Remember ye the law of Moses, which I commanded him Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you, Elijah the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Remember, that was who? John the Baptist. All right? Everybody with me? Heart of that Old Testament fathers, those old people that turned Jesus down, actually. But they had to come out of something and come into newborn babes in Christ. Paul said, you're a newborn baby in Christ.
Right.
All right? Then all that got, as Brother Ram said, got scrupled up down to the end time. And then God sent Elijah to me and you.
Yes. Right.
To turn us back from babies to fathers again. From Pentecostal babies, he was calling out a group of people out of Pentecost, those babbling Pentecostal babies, and trying to show them that there's more. It's not just speaking in the tongues, is it? There's more.
Right.
And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the children of the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Acts 2, verse 37. Peter preached them a small sermon, just a few minutes, 15 minutes. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise, what? The promise of you getting the Holy Ghost is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. Look, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls. All right, so everybody with me. The 120 in the upper room got the Holy Ghost first. Then after Peter got finished preaching, there was 3,000 received it down here. But it was two different positions. Everybody with me? If you've been in his church long enough, you know Dave's preached it a long time. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. So in AD 30, there was two fillings of the Holy Ghost. Listen, the Holy Ghost can only work with what words you give it. Remember, it's timid. Brother Brown tells you that the characteristics, we'll get into it a little bit later, of the Holy Ghost. He's timid. He's a gentleman. He's going to knock on your door, not knock your door down. Okay? Because you know why? He wants to give you a choice. It's up to you to receive it or not. It's up to you. You and your heart, nobody else, not your brother, not your sister, not your husband, not your wife. It's up to you. So when the Holy Ghost fell in AD 30 or 33, it fell on 120 mature subjects or faith of the fathers because they had been tutored by Jesus. Then when Peter comes out and preaches one sermon, oh, I wish to God we could preach one powerful sermon and 3,000 people receive the Holy Ghost. But that's what happened at the first church. Why can't it happen now? But now let's look at what happened on Azusa Street. Now, on Azusa Street, the Holy Ghost fell on children. But they would come to maturity. The ones that came out of that would come to maturity. Because the message of the hour is a mature message. So there was two fillings. So everybody got that. Azusa Street, there was one. It fell from children. It fell on children. They were all become babbling babes. And they even Brother Branham, remember, he said you tooted it out the whistle. And you stood up and spoke in tongues 20 times during his sermon. And he said, y'all will get it right in a little while, you know. Because there was an order of doing things. All right? They got out of order. So they had to have somebody to come get them in order. Paul's the one that put speaking in tongues in order in this age, the first age, right? Paul tells them exactly how to speak in tongues and interpret and all that. Well, so did Brother Branham have to come. He had to come and say, look, Paul's already told you this. Why do I have to tell you again? But I'm going to tell you again. Do this, don't do this, don't do that. Brother Branham said, look, it's just today as it was then. The American people are trying to find something. Boy, think about that now. They stay home on Wednesday night to hear some kind of radio broadcast. We Love Susie, or it was actually I Love Lucy, or ever what it was, or some of them kind of things. Brother Graham Branham clears his throat. Hear Elvis with his rock and roll or something like that, some kind of an entertainment, and miss prayer meeting. It's not because that the Holy Ghost isn't just the same as it was when it was on Azusa Street. It's just the same as it was when it was in Jerusalem in AD 33. But what happened? The people changed. God don't change. People changes. They took on denominational ideas. They took on false doctrine. And you and I will do the same thing if we don't watch it. 1962. Convinced and concerned. But that predestinated seed don't ask no questions. It's thoroughly convinced that it's God moving according to his promise in the Bible. A little farther up the road, really, than Azusa Street. Right?
Hallelujah.
Listen, predestinated seeds are predestinated. They're predestinated to do something. And it's just not sit around with your hands on you under your rear end. A little farther up the road, really, than Azusa Street, we should be. 1962. The church should be up here. Here it started with a weeping and crying and coming into God. And it fell way away. And here's something up here that the church should be up to meet it. What? His message. But yet they're not convinced yet. That's the reason it's not concerned. Are we thoroughly convinced this is the message of the hour? Are we thoroughly convinced that this message is going to do what it says? Are we convinced? Then we should be concerned. Countdown, 1962. Oh, I want to bring a little something. June sent me a message. She was watching that Azusa Street revival on YouTube between services. But remember the building that they used on Azusa Street? Remember I told you that it was just an old dilapidated building? The Nazarenes used it. The African-American Methodists, or the AMEs, used it. They used it for a little while, and then they go out of it. They used it for a little while, and they leave out of it. And remember what it became? It became a storehouse. Some of you getting it? Some of you not? Then it became a stable. Where was Jesus born? He was born in a stable. They cleaned that stable up, put slats up, and they had church service. And the Holy Ghost fell right there in the fullness of his baptism in a stable. Praise God. June can preach sometimes if she really wants. But I saw that, but I didn't see that. Lord, it was a storage building. Brother Rabbit said, look, they'll store up food. Right? And then it was used. The last thing it was used for is a stable to keep horses. They had to clean all that mess out to get to have church. Well, guess what? Maybe we need to clean all the mess out and start having church. Hallelujah. Countdown, 1962. Now, remember, gone by Luther. Now, watch. This is a powerful statement. Wonderful sermon. But gone by Luther with the Holy Spirit power, he was able to achieve by Luther to the church justification. So justification was not wrong. Luther bringing that message, just shall live by faith, it was of God. But man got involved. And when the church got justification out of the Roman creeds, it began to get life and began to move through justification. God was able to do it through his achievement to get one man to stand still long enough that he could project himself to it and get his message out to the people. Luther stood still long enough to bring them out of that Roman Catholic idea and bring justification. And God was pleased with that. The next achievement God was able to do, he got a man by John Wesley to stand still enough to get away from the Lutheran creeds. Look how God's moving. Where it had to go to preach sanctification. Then the church come from the horse and buggy to the automobile. It got more life and started running. It got to go a little faster then. Then there came an Azusa Street where they left the ground and hit the air through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God took the church. Praise God. Didn't say a man. God took the church from an earthbound creed into a solo flight in the air. Just as the airplane come in, the Holy Ghost came in behind it. And I've got a little in parentheses there. Azusa Street was 1906. In 1905, the first fixed-wing airplane was created, and man didn't stop from there. They just went on and started making jets and everything else, all right? So God did the same thing. Justification, horse and buggy. Sanctification, what was it? Automobile began to move along. Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you took off the ground, got our feet off, got up in the air, flying around in the heavenlies with heavenly gifts, speaking in tongues and divine healing. Now watch. Them that were still in the automobile and still riding the horse and buggy thought that was the strangest thing they'd ever seen. Them people was having a fit, but they got their feet off the ground. God was able to bring to the church his achievement. His achievement. When he got a bunch of people standing still long enough that he could pour his spirit into them. Now look, the same horsepower that can pulse the horse did the same thing to the automobile and did the same thing to the airplane. And the same Holy Ghost that brought justification to the church, it brought more of it when it brought sanctification. And poured it in with the Holy Ghost, still the same power, right? Brought the same thing in, took the church off of its feet into the heavenlies. But see, that wasn't all. Airplane, you're still, you've got limits. Amen? Got limits in an airplane. You can only go so high. Now, things have changed altogether. Because science is moving on. And we're always talking about science. But let's look back and see what our great scientific teachers are doing. Look what God's doing with his church. Now, we've entered the age. No more horse and buggy. No more automobile, no more the airplane, but they're astronauts. This is the astronaut age. Oh, what a great thing. The horse and buggy was earthbound. But now we are in astronaut age, and so has the church. That's the big swing over that I can't get before the people. It's just like all these people now. If you want to come to church in a horse and buggy, you can get you one. They sell them things all over the place. Everybody wants this vintage thing. If you ever want to sell something, make more money off of it, call it vintage. Retro. Vintage. But I'll promise you, there's a group of people that was in that horse and buggy When they saw the automobile, they thought them crazy people. And then the automobile gets on, and they look up, and they see, oh, man, what is that flying by? That's not a bird. It's an airplane. They're crazy people. Now we're already going up in the astronaut age. They think we're really crazy because now we can go out and come back and land the same plane. Used to couldn't do that either. Remember, they used to do it in stages. All the rockets would go off, and one would fall off here and one would fall off here. Well, now they just fly her up there and fly her right back. Listen, if technology can advance in the devil's world, why can't the Holy Ghost advance in God's world? Why? Why can't it? Because we won't let it. We sit and have our own ideas. We have our own thoughts about things. So as a church, that's the big swing over that I can't get before the people. This is 1962. They've settled down for an airplane. Listen, have we settled down for an airplane? Have we settled down for a horse and buggy? Or an automobile? They're settling down for an airplane. Some of them are settling down for a horse and buggy. He put them way back. But God's got an astronaut age. Oh, what an age to live in. No wonder they can't understand it. Brother Joe was had a privilege this weekend, I guess it was, or one weekend, that he took the kids and they went to a place and met a real astronaut. One that had been on the space station and had so many different flights. And you know, these people just think different. They think different. They're just programmed different. Well, listen, if we're programmed by the Holy Ghost, we ought to be able to do the same thing. Don't we think different in this world?
Yes.
Now, you got that right. You better. No wonder they can't understand it, but you see, where God lets man do something, it's to show the church that he's doing something. It's showing the church that she can do something. Again, countdown. Azusa Street never seen those things. Now remember, Azusa Street comes in, automobile, just had begun, 1906. Then the airplane. That hasn't been since Christ was on earth. And Christ is on earth now in the form of the Holy Spirit in its fullness. This is the way God wanted it, right here. He wanted people to be moved by the Holy Ghost, to be influenced by the Holy Ghost, and to have the Holy Ghost and be able to give it to somebody else. Trying to get you away from these earthbound things to lift you up into his presence. God's only provided place of worship. Now, the Pentecostals, that brother, one, I believe one of his eyes was out. He's talking about Daddy Seymour. A colored brother who really started the Pentecostal message in California, Old Azusa Street. He was laughed at, and because he was a Negro, he was made fun of, but he brought a message for that age. So what does that matter, all that? God brought a message through the man. Just a little body, a fella could hardly sign his own name, but the Lord had revealed to him that this was the age for the restoration of those gifts. And they come. No matter what said, it came. But everybody got in the atmosphere of it, seeing it was that age, and seeing that God vindicated that those people could speak with tongues and so forth, it happened. But then when he went, now watch. But then when he went and pinned it down that this is the only evidence, that killed it. See, goes right on. That did it. Then they started separating this and that, making denominations, one coming on a cloud, one coming in a bush. Oh, there it goes. Azusa Street lasted from 1906 to about 1915. And then Daddy Seymour, he died of a heart attack not too long after that. And this is the picture of him right here. That man right there started the Pentecostal movement. 35 years old, one eye wouldn't work. Not somebody pretty to look at, was it? But God thought enough of him to send the Holy Ghost through him. His name was William Seymour, leader of the Azusa Street Revival. In 1905, William Seymour, a 34-year-old son of a freed slave, was a student of the well-known Pentecostal preacher Charles Parham. And I'll tell you something about Charles Parham. Charles Parham was a segregationist. He didn't believe whites and blacks ought to be together. That kind of sounds you'd think God would just bring the harmony in, you know, and just let them all. But Parham had the Holy Ghost enough, though. What he did was he had a Bible college class. He would preach the he would teach the classmates, which were all white, and he left the side door open. And William Seymour thought enough of that man and the message he was bringing. He every day he sat on the step with the door open. They allowed him to do that, but wouldn't allow him to come in. He sat there though and got the revelation that was a third. That was a third act of grace. Sometimes we think, well, this ought to be something pretty, and it ought to come from a squeaky white seminary, or it ought to be somebody look like Joel Osteen. I hope you don't see this. Charles Parham, and an interim pastor for a small holiness church in Topeka. Because what now? Charles Parham was originally, he was the founder of the Pentecostal movement in America. But now when Daddy Seymour took over, it went all over the world. All right. So now Seymour inherited from Parham the belief that baptism with the Holy Spirit was the third work of grace, following the new birth, first work of grace. See, they had all that messed up. They thought you had a new birth at justification. Well, Brother Brown had to straighten that out. But God winked at their ignorance at the time. He was trying to get the people full of the Holy Ghost. Seymour inherited from Parham the belief that baptism with the Holy Spirit was the third work of grace, following the new birth, first work of grace. Entire, see, they called it entire sanctification because they called it the new birth was entire sanctification. Read up on this. It's wonderful reading. I've just heard people say Azusa Street and you just move on. Study it sometime. This was the framework that God brought Brother Branham out of.
Right.
So that people, we, and the Pentecostals could accept Brother Branham's message. Wouldn't accept it in Luther, wouldn't accept it in Wesley. Had to bring the gifts back, had to bring the Holy Ghost back, where Brother Branham could step right out on it and have a healing campaign, and people not going, I don't believe none of that. No, they've been seeing it all the way through. God was leading everybody gradually up through. Neely Terry, an African-American woman who attended a small holiness church pastored by Julia Hutchins, which is a woman, in Los Angeles, made a trip to visit family in Houston in 1905. While in Houston, she visited Seymour's church, where he preached on receiving the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And though he had not experienced this personally, Terry was impressed with his character and message. Once home in California, Terry suggested that Seymour be invited to speak at the local church. Seymour received and accepted the invitation in February 1906, and he received financial help and a blessing from Parham for his planned one-month visit. Now watch what happened. God sent him all the way to Los Angeles. Watch what happened. Seymour arrived in Los Angeles February 22nd, 1906. And within 2 days was preaching at Julia Hutchinson's church at the corner of 9th Street and Santa Fe Avenue. During his first sermon, he preached that speaking in tongues was the first biblical evidence of the inevitable infilling of the Holy Spirit. On the following Sunday, March the 4th, he returned to church and found that Hutchinson had padlocked the door. The very woman that brought him out there didn't believe what he was preaching. Elders of the church rejected Seymour's teaching primarily because he had not yet experienced the blessing about what he was preaching. He had not received the evidence. Condemnation of his message also came from the Holiness Church Association of Southern California, with which the church had affiliation. However, not all members of the Hutchinson's church rejected Seymour's preaching. He was invited to stay in the home of a congregation, a member named Edward Lee, and began to hold Bible studies and prayer meetings there. And to make a long story short, it was at a house, and it became so full of people, then they found this Azusa Street Mission Building, the old storehouse, the old stable. And they moved into it, where it held like 1,300 to 1,500 people, and it packed out for 3 years, I think. It packed the place out. But now watch what the Los Angeles Times said. No wonder God's going to sink this thing in the bottom of the ocean. The Los Angeles Times, neither was do I have to start over again? Gosh. It's stuck. Boo devil. No, I want to keep mashing stuff. We'll get it in a minute. I want you to see what they said about this. Now, this is an outside view of what went on at Azusa Street. And this is the world talking about what went on. All right, watch. Los Angeles Times was not so kind in its description. Meetings are held in a tumble-down shack on Azusa Street, and the devotees of the weird doctrine practice the most fanatical rites, preach the wildest theories, and work themselves into a state of mad excitement in their peculiar zeal. Colored people and a sprinkling of whites compose the congregation. And night is made hideous in the neighborhood by the howling of the worshipers. Oh, what a blasphemer of the Holy Ghost right there. Who spend hours swaying forth and back in a nerve-wracking attitude of prayer and supplication. They claim to have the gift of tongues and be able to understand the Babel. No wonder God's going to sink them in the ground. Now, the first edition of the apostolic faith, proud, well-dressed preachers came to investigate. Soon their high looks were replaced with wonder. Then conviction comes. And very often you will find them in a short time wallowing on the dirty floor, asking God to forgive them and make them as little children. Among firsthand accounts were reports of the blind having their sight restored, diseases cured instantly, and immigrants speaking in German, Yiddish, and Spanish, all being spoken to in their native language by uneducated black members, and they understood it, who translated the language into English by supernatural ability. That was the beginning of Pentecost, modern-day Pentecost. But you see how the religious world turned them down, locked the doors. Shut them out. Same way they did with Brother Branham. They didn't physically padlock the doors, but they didn't invite him no more. That's just the same as padlocking the doors. And turned against him. And they were getting phone calls, every week getting phone calls. And all of a sudden, he wasn't getting no phone calls. Why? Because it's like the Los Angeles Times. They had their own interpretation. It was some kind of something weird. Well, praise God, we are weird people. We're peculiar, the Bible says. But we're chosen. We might be peculiar, but we're a chosen people. God started on the day of Pentecost, his church. He winked at their ignorance for not seeing all the doctrines correct, like baptism and no eternal hell and different things like that. But God was pleased to be right there with them. Listen, God's pleased when you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's pleased with you just as much as you would somebody that's had it for years. Just as pleased. God can't be unpleased in his own self. But they received the Holy Ghost in their soul. And that started the Azusa Street revival that went around the world. Different men. I mean, there's many, many. And Smith Wigglesworth. He came all the way from England over to see the Pentecostal revival. And then they went over to the Welsh revival. And they were all together as one. There was no disputes. Now, later on there was, but during this time of when the Holy Ghost fell, everybody, just like the first time, they had everything common. They in prayer, supplication, they went to church together. There wasn't no divisions. There wasn't no big I's and little U's. That's like that black lady stood there and said, oh, this didn't come through no man. Said, this came through the Holy Ghost. And that's when she was telling the story, about the people coming in like they did, the big highfalutin preachers coming in to see what's going on. Kind of like Johnny Smith did. Right, Brother Darnie? If you don't know the story, Brother Darnie moves down here, basically, comes down here and gets involved with this cult that y'all are sitting in now. And most of y'all know Sister Johnny. Very quiet, unassuming, don't say much. She's very vocal. Hey, man, he's extremely vocal, and that's his sister. Well, she comes down here to tear this place apart. Give me that Samuel Dale. I tear him apart. Ain't going to have no brother of mine in no cult. I'm coming down here to save him. Isn't that what she said? Get you out of that. See, get me out of that. Get him out of that. Brother Darty's like, don't get me out of nothing. Leave me alone. But Sister Johnny was like, I'm getting him out. Well, y'all know, you see the fruit of that, right? She fell in head over heel. But she come down here to get him out of it. Then people come through that back door trying to get them people to quit doing what they were doing, and they got caught up in it theirself. I pray that there's enough Holy Ghost in all of us till if we meet somebody new and somebody fresh and somebody coming off the street, that there be enough Holy Ghost in us that it'll filter out into them. That's my prayer. Let's stand to our feet. That's my prayer, is that we will do that because it's happened already. It's not something strange. I can see Sister Johnny. She's a New Yorker. She's right there in Manhattan, buddy. She worked for, I think, Wachovia or somebody. I mean, she was stern. I'll come down there. I'll tack Samuel Day out of the frame. I'll show him. Well, God showed her. God showed her. Sometimes you can take a zeal like that and turn it into God. But Sister Johnny was a predestinated seed. God knew she'd come to it. But you know what? Had to bring Brother Darty down here to have the connection between the two. Right? And now she's a born-again believer. Love Samuel Dale. Didn't hate him no more after a while. Got to hear him, and what? That Holy Ghost inside of him just went over and jumped on her. Oh, she got what she come down here for. She got deliverance, but it was a different kind than what she was looking for. She was going to tear Georgia apart and go back to New York. No, she come down here and got the Holy Ghost, went to New York for a little while, retired, and come what? Come right back down here in this cult and join right in with us. And loves the Lord and loves all of you. But you see how God works. If you got the Holy Ghost, give it to somebody else. You'll never exhaust what's inside of you. I'll promise you, you won't. Let's sing a song. If anybody's got a need.
Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Oh, Satan's like a roaring lion, roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells me so, and many souls have been his prey, to fall in some weak hour. But God has promised us today his overcoming power.
Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? Why? Because it's a different spirit. They know it's different. They know something different about us. Well, that's fine and dandy. That's good. But I want so much to where it'll get on somebody. Get a hold of somebody. Get a hold of your children. Get a hold of your wife, family, or any of us. Get a hold of somebody. Do you really believe the Holy Ghost is strong enough to do that? If you don't, you don't have it yourself. Amen. Is that not what Brother Brown said? If you don't have faith enough for your children, I doubt you got it for you. You got to have faith and do what I said this morning. We got to become believers. We got to believe what we're, this message, we got to believe it. There's nothing else left. This is it. This message is all we got. We're earthbound until we get the Holy Ghost. And then get the Holy Ghost so much it carries us right out of this world. Gets us out of here. Oh, listen. Just let it fall one time.
I'm so glad I
and you'll
got
be different from that day forward. You will never, ever be the same. Oh, greater is he that is in me. And greater is he that is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Remember those that are traveling? About and Brother Bob and Brother Aaron, remember them, and remember Brother Luis Wednesday night. Just be in prayer for all the ones that are sick, Sister Johnny, different ones, Sister Mary, that are sick. We all ask a special prayer for Sister Johnny, and as the Lord will touch her and heal her body. We sure love her. We would never say what a mighty God we serve as many times as we do if it hadn't been for Sister Johnny. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Every time, what a mighty God we serve. You just look at her and say it. You don't have to say it. What a mighty God we serve. And that mighty God's going to take her through.
Yes.
That mighty God's going to take us through.
Amen.
The great physician is going to take over. That's the best thing for us to do. Let the great physician take over. Remember June. She's coming up on a week now, and she's doing good. So just keep her in prayer, and that we can get her through all this. And I know y'all got you. There's a women's thing coming up the end of the month, and men's meeting coming up the next week. So just remember all these things, and we sure appreciate you and love you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Just continue to pray for the family, pray for Mom, for strength, and all of us for. When I get finished with my mail route. I finish up right before you get to the Baptist church there where Dad's buried. So I just kind of wheel in every once in a while. And I talk to him for a little while. So it's sobering to know that he's not here anymore. So, but Jesus said, I'll be a father to you. I'll be a mother. I'll be a friend. He said he would do that. So we just got to depend on that. He said he'd never put no more on us than we can stand. Boy, sometimes we think it gets right to the red line. But he promised that. And he'd never leave us or forsake us. He'll never do you wrong. We just pray for the family. We appreciate you and love you. God bless you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to be with us on the highways. Forgive us of our faults and mistakes, Lord. I pray that the Holy Ghost again will fall afresh on each one. Lord, may we receive more of you than we've ever received in our life. Lord, may we pray more, seek you more, Father. As you told Daddy Seymour, he prayed for 5 hours, and you said pray some more. And when he prayed 7 hours a day, he got the Holy Ghost. He got what he asked for. Father, you're a good God. You'll give us. Sometimes we don't ask. But Lord, if we don't ask, we're not going to get it. And Lord, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus to give us the Holy Ghost where we can't even contain it. There's nothing wrong with speaking in tongues. There's nothing wrong with prophecy and different things if it's all done in order. Lord, I think some people are scared of it, but we shouldn't be scared of these things. They sure weren't scared on Azusa Street. They went all over the world healing the sick. What a healing campaign that came out of that with Brother Branham and Oral Roberts and A.A. Allen and Jack Coe and all the different ones, Lord. that springboarded off of that Pentecostal experience of the gifts coming back to the church, Father. And I pray that you'll send the gifts to this church, Lord, that you'll give us a blessing we can't contain. Lord, until we come back together, be with Brother Luis Wednesday night and bless us in the service coming up in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
There's a river of life flowing out of me. Makes a lane.